Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning. Welcome to you and our radio audience. We're thankful for you tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of the program. It is our purpose to speak only those things that are found in God's holy and inspired Word. And so if at any time you have a question or a comment concerning something that we say on the program, we'd like to hear from you. Or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to know about it and study it on the program. Again, let us hear from you. You can contact me at the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. You know, since 1925, the NCAA has vacated national championships 21 times, and those teams whose championships were taken away represent 13 different sports, including softball, baseball, football, lacrosse, golf, volleyball, and various track and field championships. You know, in college sports, there's no greater honor than winning an NCAA championship. It represents the pinnacle of accomplishment, a perfect situation of ability and achievement. But to have a championship taken away from you because you broke the rules is perhaps the greatest shame. But you know, what's interesting is the way that many players and teams, coaches and schools react when their championships are rescinded, when they are vacated. Some are very humble and apologetic. There are some that scoff at the idea and even joke about it. And then there are some who pretend just like nothing has happened. And then others are furious, and they're very vocal. And then there, too, there's those that begrudgingly acknowledge the problem, but with the heuristics and the footnotes that they put in the game day programs. However, the most significant victory in human history was not a sports victory, nor for that matter was it a business accomplishment, or was it a political win. It was the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. There's no greater problem for the human race than sin and death. And by death, we're talking about eternal separation. Consequently, there could be no greater victory than to conquer Satan, who is the author of sin and death. The scriptures speak very often about this victory. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, "And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death." You see, this verse describes a war in the heavenly places between Michael and the angels versus Satan and his angels. And in this conflict, Satan was doomed. Why? Because of the blood of the Lamb. It's a few chapters later, in chapter 17, that we read about another conflict in which the forces of the world gather the meager power to battle Christ and his people. Revelation 17, verse 14. "These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful." See, the world that was pictured in this verse cannot help but lose because of the authority of Christ, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Now, this being, as we have said, the greatest victory, being the death, burial, and resurrection, how did men react to Jesus' victory? Well, really, a lot like the sports figures that we mentioned just a little bit earlier. A few with humility and wisdom, but most with indifference and indignation. There were some that begrudgingly acknowledged Jesus' power over the grave, but they were not truly changed. We read about them in John 11 and verse 46 in their treatment of Jesus. Let's read verse 46 beginning. Therefore the chief priests and the Pharisees convened a council and were saying, "What are we doing? For this man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, all men will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." Another reaction that we find is that some were angry, and they continued to fight against. Notice this in Acts chapter 4, as we begin our reading in verse 1. And this is talking about the apostles in reference to the things that the apostles was doing and teaching. It says, "As they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to them, being greatly disturbed, because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening." They're doing all of this because Peter and John in chapter 3 had healed a man who had been lame from birth. And this caused a great stir. Many people believed and obeyed the gospel, and the Jewish leaders were upset about it. And so they arrest Peter and John. And what we see in verse 7, from where we were reading there in the first few verses of chapter 4, verse 7 says, or they asked the question of Peter and John, "By what power or by what name have you done this healing of this lame man?" They couldn't deny it. And so the answer that Peter and John give is verse 10, "Let it be known to you all and to all of the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole." And so what we go on and read about in chapter 4 is that they're in a pickle between what to do with Peter and John. They want them to shut up. They want them to be hushed. So what they do, we see in verse 21, they further threaten them, but they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. But again, we see that later on they are arrested, they're put into prison, they're beaten, and they're firmly told not to teach anymore in the name of Jesus. But it's in Acts 5 that Peter makes that statement, "We ought to obey God rather than man." But what we're seeing here is the angry and continued fight that was being put up in the first century concerning this matter of Jesus and his being resurrected from the dead. Killed, buried, and resurrected. But then too, there were some that acted like it never happened. This we can see in Matthew chapter 28, following Jesus' resurrection. Notice what we read beginning with verse 11. "Now while they were on their way, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priest all that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, 'You are to say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this should come to the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble.' And they took the money and did as they had been instructed. And this story was widely spread among the Jews, as it is to this day. So here was great effort being put forth to just act as if the resurrection of Jesus had never happened. It had just never occurred. Then there were some that treated it as if it were a joke. When Paul was in the city of Athens and beheld all of the idolatry that was taking place in that city, idols of every imaginable sort. In fact, there was even that one idol for fear that they had left out one of their gods that was just simply inscribed to the unknown God. But notice what we see in Acts 17, because what Paul does is he not only teaches that there is one God and that he is the one that is deserving and worthy of worship, but he also spoke about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that was something new to the Athenians, because after all, that was a seeming purpose for living from day to day, was just to learn something new. So yes, this idea of a resurrection was new, but still, there were some, when they heard it, they made a joke of it. And we read that in Acts 17, verse 32. Now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some began to sneer, but others said, "We will hear you again concerning this." And there were some, however, that were humble enough to believe. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, let's begin our reading at verse 13. "For this reason we also thank God, that when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the words of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you also endured the same suffering at the hands of your own countrymen, even as they did from the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out." You see, ultimately, which team wins the football or the basketball championship, as the years go by, that amounts to nothing. You know, who can tell who won the first double NCAA championship back in 1925? Very, very few. Some can't even remember who won it last year. So see, these type of things, really and truly, they amount to nothing. It's little more than what is to soon become trivia. But who won the contest at the cross? That's the only victory that matters. So then, whenever we contemplate Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, let us never forget that it's a victory that can never be voided, it can never be vacated, it can never be forfeited, it can never be taken away. And as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Our time is up. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.